Here were the dials she'd reset at some considerable inconvenience. Hell, pain. Emotional temp, still at 72. The toggle switch marked chap, still turned to asleep, and in the monitor above it, the chap thus still in black and white like everything else. No sign of those disquieting blue eyes. The absurd labor force oven dial was still at 2, but she saw that most of the lights, which had been amber the last time she'd been in this room, had now turned red. There were more cracks in the floor, and the ancient dead soldier in the corner had lost his head. The increasingly heavy vibration of the machinery had toppled the skull from the top of its spine, and it now laughed up at the fluorescent lights in the ceiling. The needle on the Susanna Mio readout had reached the end of the yellow zone. As Susanna watched, it edged into the red. Danger, danger, Diem and New are dead. Papa Doc Duvalier is dead. Jackie Kennedy is dead. She tried the controls one after another, confirming what she already knew. They were locked in place. Mia might not have been able to change the settings in the first place, but locking things up once those settings were to her liking, that much she had been able to do. There was a crackle and squall from the overhead speakers, loud enough to make her jump, then coming to her through heavy bursts of static, Eddie's voice. Suze. Hey. Hear me? Burn. A. Do it before. Ever. Posed. Id. Do you hear me? On the screen she thought of as Mia Vision, the doors of the central elevator car opened. The hijacking mommy bitch got on. Susanna barely noticed. She snatched up the microphone and pushed the toggle switch on the side. Eddie, she shouted, I'm in 1999. The girls walk around with their bellies showing and their bra straps. Christ, what was she blathering on about? She made a mighty effort to sweep her mind clear. Eddie, I don't understand you. Say it again, sugar. For a moment, there was nothing but more static, plus the occasional spooky wail of feedback. She was about to try the mic again when Eddie's voice returned, this time a little clearer. Burn up, day, Jake, Pear Cal. Hold on. Burn before she, to wherever she, have the kid. If you, knowledge. I hear you. I acknowledge that much, she cried. She was clutching the silver mic so tightly that it trembled in her grasp. I'm in 1999, June of 1999, but I'm not understanding you as well as I need to, Shug. Say again and tell me if you're all right. But Eddie was gone. After calling for him half a dozen times and getting nothing but that blur of static, she set the microphone down again and tried to figure out what he'd been trying to tell her, trying also to set aside her joy just in knowing that Eddie could still try to tell her anything. Burn up day, she said. That part, at least, had come through loud and clear. Burn up the day, as in kill some time. She thought that almost had to be right. Eddie wanted Susanna to slow Mia down. Maybe because Jake and Pear Callahan were coming? About that part, she wasn't so sure, and she didn't much like it anyway. Jake was a gunslinger, all right, but he was also only a kid. And Susanna had an idea that the Dixie Pig was full of very nasty people. Meanwhile, on Mia Vision, the elevator doors were opening again. The hijacking mommy bitch had reached the lobby. For the time being, Susanna put Eddie, Jake, and Pear Callahan out of her mind. She was recalling how Mia had refused to come forward, even when their Susanna Mio legs were threatening to disappear right out from under their shared Susanna Mio body. Because she was, to misquote some old poem or other, alone and afraid in a world she never made. Because she was shy. And my goodness, things in the lobby of the Plaza Park had changed while the hijacking mommy bitch had been upstairs waiting for her phone call. They had changed a lot. Susanna leaned forward with her elbows propped on the edge of the Dogon's main instrument panel and her chin propped on the palms of her hands. This might be interesting.